Welcome back. Thank you for listening. 1520 WBZW. This is your hometown with Debbie O'Brien. Our number is 407-774-8255 if you have any questions, because we have Nick and Jerry Royer here. And I love it when you guys are here, because talking about money, you know, sometimes it's people feel as though it's taboo, and I don't. I'm like in your face with everything. And this is something that you can't kick the can, you know, down the street. This is something that you need to focus on when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s. By the time you're 50, you don't want to look back going, oh, I wish I. Mm-hmm. And so you're here.
There's no retirement without money, right?
You're absolutely right.
And really, there's no retirement without planning.
Absolutely right. And you don't want to learn that lesson later in life. You want to know about it now, you know. And this is something that we as for our family, you know, we've done a lot of financial planning things. We did books and games and every, you know, the people that are out there like national and all that. I'm like, we need to learn. And, you know, my son the other day, Nicholas, said, Mom, we were at Publix. And he said, Mom, why is it that college students just don't have enough money to eat? And I looked at him and I said, proper planning. And he's like, yeah, you know, I understand that you have to. And so he starts like saying all this stuff. And here's me.
That's like the.
Was it like an epiphany? Like, man, he's smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like the kid that wrote his dad in college. And he said, and says, no mun, no fun, your son. And his dad wrote back, it's too bad, so sad, your dad.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
Yep. You gotta teach
I was
them.
Not the one who wrote that, by the way. I wasn't the one who wrote that. But I mean, you're right. It's kind of crazy. You go to school, and when I went to Miami University. Now, mm-hmm. That's in Oxford, Ohio. So for people listening, that's not University of Miami.
Fact is, when you go into Miami of Ohio, they got to sign up. We were a college before you were a state.
Yeah. I think it was 1812 or something like that when the school was founded. It's pretty crazy. But that was the thing, is when I went to school there, when I went to the main hall, mm-hmm. there were credit card company after credit card
yes.
company at their booths. I'll come here, we'll give you a free shirt. I'll come here, we'll give you a football. I'll come here and yep. you know, you get a free ticket to XYZ or whatever it is. And that, mm-hmm. that was all over the place. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a booth or anything. And after 4 years of education, not one class on how to do your own budget, mm-hmm. how to handle yourself financially. It was all about maybe how to handle a company's budget. But there was nothing about how to handle your own stuff.
Your own stuff. And I think that this topic today that you had mentioned, you know, how we would go and question our financial planner. It's interesting because sometimes people are intimidated to go, let alone, okay, have one. Mm-hmm. Because first of all, they don't know what to say. And second of all, they don't think they have enough money, which both mm-hmm. I would assume and say is wrong.
And
wrong
you,
thinking.
You're absolutely right. And you walk into some of these offices and they make you feel
yes
to a point that you're intimidated and you're kind of afraid to ask because you don't want to
or talk
feel
down
like,
to
gee
right?
I'm dumb if I ask that. No, it's your money. Ask the question.
Yes.
For God's sake,
it's like going to a gym, not going to a gym because you're not in shape. Okay. That doesn't make sense. You go to the gym so that you can be in shape,
right?
And so that's the same thing with going to you guys.
And I think there's a big problem because I think a lot of people who are planning to retire, what ends up happening is they don't plan to retire until they've turned in their pink slip or they've told their boss, I'm done, I'm retiring. And then all of a sudden they retire. I mean, we've had probably five or six times this past week when people have come in and we've asked them, you know, hey, what's, you know, fill us in on your situation. They're like, well, we just retired in December.
Oh.
Okay. What have you done up until this point? We haven't done anything. So, okay, so what brings you here and how can we help you? Mm-hmm. Well, we want you to help us figure out retirement. And internally to me, what I'm thinking is you probably should have done that. That's kind of like buying a car and not having a driver's license, mm-hmm. right? You got to get the license first before you go buy a car. Hmm. And so you have to do the planning first before you go ahead and retire, in my mind.
And that's where you're holding your breath now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting across the table going, oh, boy.
Yeah, what do I do? I'm hoping that there's something to work with.
Right.
And so, but that's the biggest thing is people ask, well, what questions do I ask? How do I, you know, mm-hmm. how do I start this process? And sometimes it's, you know, people will think, well, I've worked at the XYZ company, and there's a guy there who helped us out with our 401k, and that's the guy that I need to go to. But sometimes the person who helped you get to retirement is not the person who's going to help you build a plan to get through retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, if you've listened to our show long enough, mm-hmm. you know that me, I grew up, I was 18 years old, and my mom, you know, I had something that happened to me. My mom took me back to the pediatrician. You know, and
Dr.
it's like Dr. Buttons, who was my pediatrician from birth, right? So here I am, 18 years old, and I'm in a baby doctor, uh-huh. An office with a bunch of kids
yes.
around, and the doctor's walking down the hallway with his buttons clashing on his outfit, you know, and that's how I started. And it was 18 years old when I did it. I was so embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like sometimes I had to graduate to a different doctor. And sometimes when you build money up, maybe the person who's helping you accumulate the money is not the person who's going to help you make sure it lasts as long as you do.
Well, and a key question would be to ask the individual, are you beholden to any company? Are you captive? In other words, where you yeah. can only present me with the programs from one company
mm-hmm.
instead of having basically the whole universe available where mm-hmm. you can use the Wall Street market, the life insurance end, the banking end, have all those pieces working together rather than just one particular
But you
company.
Were that way. You started out with MetLife.
Yeah, 52 years ago, and it didn't take me long, like 5 years, going to symposiums and seminars and listening to other people speak. But you know what? There's more than just one company, and Met's a good company. I'm not saying they're not. But again, if all that you have is what they, you know, it's kind of like having a toolbox,
mm-hmm.
and all that you've got in that toolbox is a hammer. Well, everything's going to probably look like a nail.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you got to have everything available. So when you're talking to someone, Debbie, that you've got, you design the plan. There's no two plans alike because we all have different goals and objectives that we're trying to get achieved.
So this is diversifying your diversity because you don't want all your eggs in that one basket or just the hammer in your toolbox.
Exactly.
Because you never know what's going to happen with your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a 403B, there's no more pensions. If you have a pension, you're one of the blessed ones, right?
Exactly.
So you have a 403B or a 401K or just a savings account because you didn't even check that box in October when everything comes through. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I mean, think about how deep financial planning is. So I'm sure you've kind of looked at this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But financial planning is more than just your checking account.
Right.
You know, you mentioned 401k, your 403b, your IRAs. It's even deeper than that. You've got your Social Security choices, your health care choices.
Oh, we have Social Security.
Yeah, you've got, okay, so you got your legacy choices, your tax choices. There's all these things that have a dollar sign in front of it. Mm-hmm. Think about taxes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dollar sign in front of it that has to do with finances. You know, if you think about your Social Security, there's a dollar sign in front of it that has to do with finances. So if you're working with somebody who doesn't want to look at those things
mm-hmm.
and are only saying, well, you know, I'm only going to worry about the money you have invested with us and you figure out the rest, to me, that puts people at a real big disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
You should be looking at the whole picture, not just the piece of the pie that makes you money. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. Is they look at part of it, not the whole piece.
Mm-hmm. Or they don't realize that there is more to it. Because again, when you're just being led by the nose by your friend or the only bit of knowledge that you have, then that's all you know, which isn't good.
Right. But I mean, you were talking about how you read books,
oh,
right?
Oh my goodness. I became a crazy person with it. Only because, you know, you work so hard. You know, my parents, my dad retired in his 50s. My mom retired in her 50s. Like, my family did. And I thought, well, that's, why can't we? Well, there are different situations. However, we still have two kids. You still have a house. You still have the car. Like, really? I think we could do that. Now, how? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I read everything I possibly could. Now, my husband, on the other hand, and on the other part of that, is he had to find his niche to kind of believe what I was saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't me reading.
We all learn
Susie,
in different ways.
Right, right,
right.
Susie Orman or whoever I was reading at the time, you know, whatever. I just kept throwing the books at him. Look, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
What about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a compendium out there. I'm like, wow, this makes sense. You know, it shouldn't be scary.
Yeah, I mean, my wife learned budgeting from Dave Ramsey.
Dave
I learned it from Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay.
Because I didn't jive with Dave Ramsey. So I had the purple book because that's what mm-hmm. color it is. And here's my mm-hmm. wife with the white and black book. Mm-hmm. So you'd think I'm walking around with a purple book. It should be right. my wife's book, but that right. was the one I was
reading. Nope. Robert Kiyosaki, we read every single thing in his, and I have the game. Yeah. And as a matter of fact,
Cash Flow.
I do. I have that game. Mm-hmm. And we would play it because that thinking, how you think is how
absolutely.
You, what comes in your brain comes out into fruition. So we used to play, and it would take hours. Oh, my gosh, it would take hours. Mm-hmm. And I would lose.
And it was a heavy box, too. I mean, that was it's an expensive game.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, you could literally.
It was an investment.
It's an investment, and he made you pay for it. But yes. you could box this thing up, and it literally, you could drive over a car.
Yes.
And that thing's not going to break.
No.
I mean, it's metal reinforced, I think.
It's in our will.
Wow.
Yes.
See, if you put that in yours, I think I should put it in mine, because I have 101 and 201.
Same here. We never got to 201, because I could never win. That was the problem. Here, I was the one that read all this stuff, and I couldn't win. So we never got the 201.
Well, you know, if you want the cheaper, easier, quicker way of doing it, you should just get the computer-based program.
Is that another ka-ching?
Oh, I have no idea. Now, I haven't looked in years, but I mean, I know you can do it that way. But I mean, the most important thing is just increasing your financial intelligence.
Right.
That's why we have courses. We're teaching a course on Wednesday mm-hmm. at the Winter Park Public Library. On taxes because of all the things that have happened with the tax rules recently.
Because everything's changed?
Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about that when we come back
sure.
after this break? Because this is going to be a whole nother thing. Because what you think you used to know, right? What you think you knew, you don't know anymore, right?
Keeps changing.
Oh, all right, we'll be right back. Thanks for listening. 1520 WBZW, your hometown with Debbie O'Brien. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. 1520 WBZW. This is your hometown with Debbie O'Brien, and I have Nick and Jerry Royer here. And here we are again with the commercial, and because there's so much information. This is tax season. You know, there's changes in our tax codes and things like that. And then before our break, we were even talking about, you know, the questions that you would ask your financial planner. Like, there's so many issues here on the table. And a couple more we're just going to throw out there. Insurance, you just said, you know, you have Social Security choices, tax choice. Like, it's almost overwhelming, but if you break it down piece by piece, it all makes sense.
Yeah, there's 2,000 rules, over 2,000 rules within Social Security.
And I think there's 100,000 rules that supersede those rules in the program operating manual.
That. Yeah, and over 500 ways to draw it. Most people think I can draw it at 62, 66, or 70.
Okay.
There's so many other ways to draw Social Security.
There's spousal benefits, divorce benefits, widow benefits. There's options for husbands and wives. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different options. And you know, in 2015, the government did chop out some of those benefits.
Okay.
But there's still so many different choices.
Yeah, we've had folks come into our office, Group 10 Financial, that have actually, ladies that have been, were married maybe 15, 20 years, got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Never remarried, you know, but they were married. Now they're 65 years of age and did not realize that they're eligible to go back and draw on their previous husband's benefits.
Oh. And so did they lose out on all those years?
And they think, oh, I don't want him to
go backwards.
The thing is, he would not know about it. There's not a requirement there, so he doesn't have to
know. I don't
want
to ask for Social Security because my husband might find out. He's not going to find out.
He doesn't, and it's legal. But again, it doesn't take away from his benefits. And if he's remarried, it doesn't take away from his existing wife's.
Hmm. And that's something that he put in. You worked together for all those years. It's like an entitlement, but it's not entitled. You worked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
you
mm-hmm.
worked for that money.
So many times you could draw from that benefit and allow yours to cook and marinate until you're 70 and even draw more dollars.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different choices in that. I mean, some of them you can apply for, some of them you qualify for, some of them you don't. But that's why when I was saying that, really, you know, retirement planning is income planning.
Mm-hmm.
And income planning not only has to do with making sure that you have enough coming in from your investments and other things, but it has everything to do with Social Security. It also has a lot to do with your taxes, because if you're paying too much in taxes, then, you know, like I always say, you know, it's not what you make, it's what you get to keep.
Right. Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, this recent tax bill brought about another type of planning that needs to be looked at, tax planning.
Hmm.
So you got, I mean, really, when if you look at five things, five pieces of a I guess you could call it, take a pie and slice it into five pieces. You wanted to find out, well, what are the five pieces to a financial plan? Well, it should have an investment plan. Mm-hmm. It should have an income plan, a retirement income plan. Should have a tax plan. Should have a health care plan, because, I mean, the studies are out. A husband and wife mm-hmm. over the age of 65 are going to fork over, over $250,000 in health-related expenses in their retirement.
From 65 through retirement.
And then you got a legacy plan. How do you pass your money on as easily as possible to your kids so that they're the beneficiaries and not necessarily Uncle Sam?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have all these things. But again, Rome wasn't built in a day, so
right.
you can't tackle all of them. So really the most important piece to start with is income planning and investment planning, and then blend in the others as you go.
Right. And, you know, again, we had a guy on here the other day that was for the health care plan, because I said, why is it that we all are kind of stuck? That's if you have this, because you're full time and your company offers it. But why is it that we have to stick to what your company has to offer for healthcare, when isn't there other choices out there? Because what you pay out of pocket isn't just, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because the company also has a payment, right? So you get reduced costs. However, that shouldn't be your only choice. Like, maybe there's other better choices out there for you where you can save some money.
Yeah, I think that was the thing during the last healthcare situation, was how do we get the word choice came up a lot.
Yes.
And people want choice,
yes.
but then they were kind of not given the choice. It was kind of like, well, we'll give you choice, but down the government avenue. And mm-hmm. that kind of created its own problem, I think, that mm-hmm. they're now trying to figure out.
Okay. So at least there's a light shining on that, so that something could be done. But we do have choices. There are choices. It's just a matter of, you can't do on the surface. You really do have to look more into it. And the one thing that, again, with my husband had brought up, is that we may be, I'm just saying a number, we may be paying, let's say, $1,000, but that's just what we are paying, not including the company.
Yeah.
So if you move out from that, you know, you have to pay attention to how much out of pocket you're paying that the company would have picked up. And I was like, oh, that's a good point. You know what I mean? That's looking at the whole thing.
And that's when they added that up, and it's $250,000 for an average couple over the age of 65.
God.
They started adding up all these numbers, and that's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a lot, but...
Well, it is a lot.
it is.
I mean, it's more than crumbs, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But the thing is that... the Affordable Care Act has been basically repealed, where you're no longer forced to have coverage.
Right.
But again, you have to read through the lines. That doesn't become law until December 31st this year. So this year you're still going to have to do it. It'll be next year.
Yeah, the Affordable Care Act. So when this law passed at the end of December,
okay,
that's what they came up with. Every family, if they didn't have coverage and couldn't prove coverage, the families were going to have, I think it was like $695 a person,
okay,
as an Affordable Care Act penalty, a tax penalty for not having insurance.
So you bought it or you paid
the penalty. It was like $695.
Yeah, which is a fine, and you still don't have coverage.
Right. So yeah, you're paying for something you never had.
Right.
And
exactly.
It's for last year, not coming up.
Right. And that's what people were saying. Well, you know, hey, I how can I pay the penalty when the reason I couldn't get insurance to begin with is because I couldn't afford it? So now I can't afford insurance, but then I'm getting penalized.
Yeah.
I can't afford that too, and that's why they're getting rid of it. So December 31st is when that individual mandate under that Affordable Care Act for people not covered by a qualifying health care plan is going to be eliminated. That penalty is going to get eliminated,
that's good.
That will help
good.
Out a lot of people.
Well, and you know, and I think also people think that they can't afford to have, you know, retirement planning or putting more money into investing because, well, if we're living paycheck to paycheck now, where am I going to get the money to invest?
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that after this break?
Absolutely. We're
okay.
here.
Perfect. I'm so glad. All right. Thank you very much for listening. This is 1520 WBZW, your hometown, with Debbie O'Brien. And I have Nick and Jerry Royer here, all about investments. Ah, so exciting. We'll be right back. This is Debbie. Welcome back. Thank you very much for tuning in, 1520 WBZW. This is your hometown. If you have any questions, please feel free to call 407-774-8255. And I have Nick and Jerry Royer here, and they're from Group 10 Financial. And you can hear them right here on the station on Saturday mornings.
Yeah,
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So Saturday's at 8 on 660, mm-hmm. 950 WTLN, and 1520
right.
WBZW. And then on Sunday at 7 on 660. So, yeah.
Your announcer guy sounds like he's from a game show. And here...
Mark.
That's what I wanted. That was when we had the... what kind of
he's
guy do you want?
He's got a great
voice. No. We want the game show host from, what was it, a $100,000 pyramid.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, or Jeopardy, that guy mm-hmm. who does Jeopardy. So, yeah.
I love your program because it's very easy to listen to and you can understand everything that's going on. And again, you know, if you take... This is such a huge, huge chunk that you need to understand and you break it down into pieces where... We can follow your plan and follow your path.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
One of the things that
thank you.
When we first were talking about financial planning, what I grew up knowing mm-hmm. was something that you taught me called the rule of 11, which was basically we build financial plans so easy that an 11-year-old could understand it.
Oh.
Okay, so if you can't explain it to an 11-year-old, it's too complicated.
You probably don't understand what you have.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't be difficult. You know, I don't want to know how many pieces are in this watch, Debbie. I just want to know what time it is.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, that's what we need to do with financial planning is address an individual's goals and objectives. What are they trying to do? What is the purpose of their money? And then design a plan that fits that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than going in and saying, you need this, you need this.
Right.
Everybody walks in, you need this. No, you need a plan that's going to address what your goals and objectives are.
And, you know, this is something said about you is that you sit there and you listen, you know.
Ask a lot of questions.
That's a huge deal because you need to have somebody that you can trust. And you can, this is almost like taking, bearing your soul on the table. You know, mm-hmm. this is what you have. Again, like we said, you know, finance is taboo. You don't really talk to your friends about it, but you listen to what they have to say, which makes no sense,
right?
We don't know how much, I don't know how much anybody here makes. I don't know what they've done for the investment, but if Nick would say, oh, Deb, you know, I went ahead and checked this box, you should look into that. Well, then you follow the lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of like going.
Makes.
I always think of it that if a person comes in and they're afraid to talk to their financial planner, mm-hmm. they don't want you to know, well, I don't want them to know that I've got this or got that or have this or have that. But yet they'll go to a doctor for the very first time. They don't even know him. They mm-hmm. go in and he says, take off your clothes and sit on the bench. And they just take off their clothes and sit on the bench. No, what?
Yeah.
I know. I would much rather talk to that financial planner. We'll never ask you to get, you know, derobe yourself.
Right.
We just want to go in and see what we can do to help what you have.
But, I mean, you do have to look at everything. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe this is going back 10 years, and I remember a guy who came in to visit with us for the very first time, and he pulled in we had the door jam, right? He couldn't get he had pulled in, what do you call it? It was like a suitcase.
A trunk.
Okay. It was so full of stuff, he couldn't pull it over the threshold to get into the office because of how weighted down it was and everything. Mm-hmm. And what we kind of come to find out is that he not only had 7 different advisors, but he had like 29 different accounts.
Oh.
And he had forgotten about some of them.
Mm-hmm.
His plan was to diversify his financial advisors.
His plan was to buy something else.
Yeah, it was to buy something. But he ended up buying so much stuff, he had no cohesive plan for any of it. And then each of these 7 or however many advisors that he had, each of these advisors all looked at things differently because they were all managing a piece of the pie. Now, you tell me, you got the Iron Chef, right?
Right.
Can you imagine having a restaurant with 10 Iron Chefs all trying to control the kitchen?
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work, right? That's why you have one. There's almost not a duo. You have Guy Fieri as his.
Right.
You know, you've got all these guys that have their own.
Mm-hmm.
And in financial planning, you need to kind of settle on a plan and then make sure everything cohesively works into that plan. But having this plan and that plan and this plan and that plan, it's kind of like taking a truck tire off of a Ford F-150 and trying to put it on a Maserati.
Right.
This is not going to work.
Mm-mm. Not at all. And you know, we're talking about laying everything out on the table. Sometimes even the husband and wife or the partners don't talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge problem.
Mm. It's a very big problem. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. How many times have we sit down with individuals where the husband's running it all?
Right.
And then when we ask, well, what's Debbie's opinion? Oh, she wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting right there. Yes, mm-hmm. she would. she should be part of that conversation.
Right.
If she's not, maybe they're not a fit for Group 10, because I got to tell you, sooner or later, it's going to probably be just Debbie. And Debbie needs to know what she has.
If for nothing else, just that reason. If you think about that, there is, I've never had it where a husband and wife died on the same day.
Mm-mm. Right.
Okay, so somebody's going to be left with the bag, mm-hmm. and that person better know the plan just as well as everybody else. One of the things we actually have done is realize that it's not just about the husband and wife, it's about the kids,
yes,
too.
Yes, I agree.
Because what ends up happening if something happens to mom and dad, the kids have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting a lot of voices. They go into the bank, and they're like, well, they work with finances at the bank. Hey, mom and dad just died. Can you guys help us out? And you get somebody who doesn't even know the situation.
And to think that you're healthy forever. I've got a client that lives in Cincinnati, just turned 70. You look at the gentleman, you would think, my gosh, he looks like just absolute fit person.
Mm.
He has really advanced Alzheimer's.
Oh.
Had he not had a plan set up way before,
you'd be incapable now. Right.
And yes, and his sister is his power of attorney in doing it. She says, thank God he has a plan because he couldn't write it. He knows absolutely nothing.
And then what do you do with that?
It's gone.
It's just gone.
Yeah,
so if he was managing
tough.
Everything, think of where he would be if he was managing everything.
Himself. And
himself,
he was the plan. A lot of people say that.
His
it's
mind's
in my brain.
Going. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in my brain. The plan's in my brain.
So it's really, really sad.
We just got done with a big conference that we were part of at the JW Marriott, just on the other side of the road. And we were part of a group that raised $522,000 for the Alzheimer's Association. And the guy who was the keynote speaker that night
51.
Was 51 years old. And they said he's got 5 to 6 to 7 years. Oh. And he's like, I had
he
no idea.
He was there with his wife, and to see them walk up looks absolutely wonderful.
You'd have no idea.
No, you have no idea.
And he's sitting there, and his wife's reading, and you can just see that just by his mannerisms that he was not there.
He looked pretty good, though. That was the thing that it floored me
it
when
was.
He said, it's me.
But your body's, it's your mind. It's not your body.
And so what they were talking about is how they were lucky and how about 6 years ago they had gone through financial planning. They thought they were too young, but they went ahead and did it anyway. And he said, now I can't imagine having to do it now because I'm deteriorating.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame.
And that's a shame to be 51 years of age.
51.
You know, you've got 4 to 5 years, maybe 6 years at the most, and you're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you had kids and young mm-hmm. kids and everything else. It is a shame.
Mm-hmm. We've dealt with that in our family, and I keep thinking of Ronald Reagan. You know, his mm-hmm. whole entire
good
life,
example.
What a beautiful life that he had and how
absolutely.
Many people that he touched, and at the end, there was nothing there, mm-hmm. nothing.
Mm-hmm. Just gone.
It's so scary. And, you know, friends have parents that with the dementia and the Alzheimer's, and when you're in that situation, this is one of those times yet again where you're trusting a stranger to help you. You know, because if you didn't plan, that's who you're relying on is somebody that you don't know mm-hmm. to help you get through this.
Yeah, it's a disadvantage when you don't have a team in place. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important that, you know, that the husband and wife are on a team, mm-hmm. the kids are on a team. Mm-hmm. And if the parents have a financial advisor and a attorney or a lawyer who's helping out with their estate stuff and a tax planner, that team is cohesively working together for the benefit of the family. And that way, if anything happens to mom and dad, you've got not only all your financial team working for you. I mean, if you think about a business doesn't get started, a big business, without a CEO, a chief mm-hmm. operating officer. You have all these positions. You should have those positions in your family wealth too. You should have a chief financial officer who's helping that out. You should have an attorney who's helping that stuff out. You should have an accountant that the kids don't just know by name, but actually know.
Well, and you hit it on the head. You have to have not only your financial planner and your attorney and your accountant all working together, talking to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times individuals have their 401k at work. They've got an IRA down at the bank. They may have mm-hmm. an annuity with some insurance company. Well, the insurance company isn't talking to the bank. The bank isn't talking to your employer, whoever handles the 401k. So you've got these pieces,
right,
which is good. But those pieces to work have got to work together. Just like the Super Bowl. I mean, if you didn't have somebody out there working together in that team, the Patriots would probably win again.
Oh.
You know?
Hey, well, you know, I
oh, a little smack in the head there.
Yeah. I think
you're a Patriot fan, right?
No, I wanted the Eagles to win just because I didn't want the Patriots to get that.
And they're having a party today out there, aren't they? I mean, their whole city's like is torn apart.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, isn't that something?
How ridiculous.
They had to put Crisco on the poles so people wouldn't climb the poles. And then they climbed them anyway.
And they broke out the windows at Macy's and stole things and burnt cars. No.
No.
But my mom was born in Philadelphia in 1906, so I was thinking of her last night as they won.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't want anybody to get that additional ring. The Steelers need to prevail on all that. So until they get the next ring, then nobody can
Well,
get
you know,
them.
Hey, I'm a Bengals fan. I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I'm sure I'll never have my chance ever.
Terry Bradshaw
they
came
still
in
hang
years.
It. They're hanging around.
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw came into Cincinnati many, many years ago when they did a fundraiser for retired NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
And we were part of that. And he passed around his Super Bowl ring, and I'll swear to God, you'd almost have to have your hand in a sling. That thing was so big and heavy.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, that's probably something that the Cincinnati Bengals will never experience. I keep my fingers crossed at some point, you know, so I've just kind of given up on that.
Maybe one day. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks for listening. 1520 WBZW. We have Nick and Jerry Royer here from Group 10 Financial. Love. Welcome back. Thank you for listening. 1520 WBZW, your hometown with Debbie O'Brien. And I have Nick and Jerry Royer here. And they're with Group 10 Financial. And, oh, my gosh, we are just opening. I learned so much with you guys. I love it. I absolutely love it.
See, finances isn't that bad.
No. There's so much to it. And, again, because, you know, there's so much to it, maybe you just bury your head in the sand and kick the can down the road, which is the absolute worst thing you can do. And on this break, we were talking about taxes, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, different stages of your life when you're 20 and you get that nice, big, huge check that's for partying and having a good time for at least that month. And then, you know, you get married, and we would get that big check back, and it would be for everybody else's vacation. We couldn't afford a vacation, but we made sure that you had a good time here in Florida.
Yep.
And then you're thinking, well, this is just stupid. No, that's not what it's for.
No.
You know, and, you know, my mouth opening of, oh, my gosh, what you had said before the break was having, you know, this group of people around you that can help you with all things and how they all need to communicate. And, okay, this is something I didn't consider, you know, where the attorney, the accountant, the estate planner, and this is even adding more to the already more. However, these are things that we all need to think about. So maybe you don't take this part of the, you know, this puzzle right now, but put it in your planner so that you know that this is something that eventually you're going to have to do.
Exactly. Just like you were saying off the air about your fellow you were talking with, the personal injury attorney. And
right.
What did he say? You know, if it gets to finances, I'm not your guy. You
right.
need to find somebody that specializes in that field.
Right.
You know, and like I was saying, I could go to your gynecologist and have my prostate exam
right.
because he's a doctor. Probably I should go to a doctor that does
right.
prostates.
Right.
Yeah.
Know who you're going to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can remember when my wife was pregnant with our first son. So this is actually pretty cool because this is 11 years ago. He turns 11 on Thursday.
Oh,
man. I was just kind of like.
The opening of the Olympics and Bradley turns 11.
And I was just kind of thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, you are getting big. But I can remember, you know, being a scared 25-year-old, you know, or 26-year-old, and being in the hospital and not knowing anything, and she was in labor for 44 hours.
Oh, my
okay?
goodness.
And his head was too big. It wasn't going to go
right.
anywhere. But then they had this doctor came in, and they had, the nurse had come in and checked her and said, no, you're not dilated at all. And then this doctor comes in maybe a couple hours later, and he checks, and he's like, oh, yeah, you're 4 centimeters dilated. And he leaves the room, and that would have changed the whole diagnosis of what they were going to do, right? Well, then the charge nurse comes back in, and the charge nurse says, I don't buy that for 1 second.
Hmm.
And she's like, would you allow me to make sure?
Yeah.
And my wife's like, whatever.
Right.
I'm an open book at this point, right? You know, so go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then she checks, and she's like, no, you're not dilated at all.
Hmm.
And she's like, he's a resident doctor. He doesn't do this.
Right.
And so we'll get you taken care of. Well, the same thing that we're talking about here.
Right.
Right? You can't just go to anybody to do retirement planning. You can't just go to any attorney to do estate planning. You can't just go to anybody who's going to help you, you know, a tax preparer who just does numbers. They're not going to look at opportunities to get your taxes cut. This is a question to ask. We kind of mentioned this on our show earlier today. But this is a question to ask yourself or your financial advisor. Ask them, what strategy do you have in place to help us pay the least amount possible in taxes?
Hmm.
What is the strategy? You know, or how about this one? What strategy do you have in place to help us maximize our Social Security? And if you ask those questions and they say, well, I don't know, that's not what I worry about, that's not my concern, or that's not my focus, well, then maybe you need to look someplace else. Because those things are absolutely key.
If you can get the maximum out of your Social Security and minimize your taxes, boy, that saves, that puts a lot less pressure on your investments.
Mm-hmm. More money out of the government's pocket than out of your own.
Well, and it seems like, not that you can completely 100% put all this in a nice little bundle. However, this is stuff that you really can do your best at now. What you don't know is how long you're going to live. That's the very, you don't know. So you try everything you can to make sure that you have an nth, you know, degree of, you've done everything to make sure that you're going to be taken care of. All right, so we'll be right back after this. My head is spinning. I have more questions during the break.
All right.
All right, we'll be right back. 1520 WVZW, your hometown, with Debbie O'Brien.
Now I'm staring at the door. I know it's over because my feet are
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. 1520 WBZW. This is your hometown with Debbie O'Brien. And I have Nick and Jerry Royer here, and we're talking finances, and now we're talking kids. And
yeah, I'm just not looking forward to it, what you just said about the middle school years being that bad, because my kid goes to middle school next year.
Yeah, I would never go through them again, ever. Really, and I don't know if it's for us, I think it was the perfect storm. I had my kids when I was 32. So when they get into middle school, now my body's changing everything about that and how I think. And it was just
something, if you could just buy them when they were
collision.
About 20.
No, just take them all the way up until they're about 11.
Yeah.
Then have them. Maybe that's why they have boarding schools. You think that's why it is? You know, take them up to a certain point, then get rid of them for a little bit, and then bring them back when they're actually fine.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that middle school is only 3 years. So you really just...
That's a long 3 years.
They had a military school, and it's not there anymore. Building's still there, but going towards Daytona on the old 1792, I guess that was.
Okay.
Before I-4, you went up through Stetson, going up. There was a military school.
Okay.
And back in the early 60s, you'd see these little lads, 12, 13 years old, out in their cadet uniforms and all, and they were doing their drills. And I always thought, man, that'd be a cool place to send your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then my wife said, there's no way you're going to send my kids.
No.
Well, I can't be there to watch them.
So, right, which is true. I don't think I could ever.
But military schools were good, and they did, like you said, Nick, they were educators, and they... You didn't give them any guff because you had to listen play by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think nowadays you have more, and this is something I didn't realize that I needed that much help with. You know, when you don't know how your kids study or what they're doing in school, because you can't help them. I mean, after third grade, you're like, blah, 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 I don't know how. You don't know how they're teaching. What you know is not what they're learning, and it gets a little crazy and confusing. But, you know, I had a guy on here the other day from Huntington Learning Center, and I teared up the whole entire time because that was the answer I needed. I didn't need, you know, we didn't need counseling and all this stuff. I just needed somebody to explain how we can get them to how do they learn? That was the biggest thing. How does my kid learn, and what can we do to help them? Because grades are a big thing, you know, and middle school is that time where it lays the foundation for them to go to high school. Well, it's a brick wall you go through from middle school to high school. It's almost like it doesn't matter what they've learned because it's different. Just like we were talking about with football, college football is completely different than professional football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rules, the regulations are all different.
The ball's the same.
But the ball's the same.
No,
exactly.
It depends on if they inflate it or not. Oh. Oh gosh. Should have let that one go.
Is he
going
to retire, do you think?
No. You know, you got to be like Michael Phelps. You got to retire when you're on top, you know?
Yeah, we just met with him at one of the conferences here a couple weeks ago. And here's a guy that's won all those 23, right. I believe, gold medals, but faced depression, almost suicidal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he went through, and he really, it's just amazing how he turned his life around.
After the Olympics and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. During. So basically, like, I think this was right around, I think he had already done the first two Olympics, and it was right in between, like, he had retired.
Okay.
And then he couldn't find a purpose for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started doing some weird things, and that's what he said is, he's like, I had no idea. I was going down the wrong road, and I just had no purpose. And then that's when he got kind of, you know, depression.
He said you'd read about it in the papers. That happened.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he wasn't making any excuses for his behavior.
He put on weight, you know, a lot of weight and everything else.
And he wanted to get back in, and his coach told him, he said, there's only one way. He said, I'll help you get back into the Olympics, but you will listen to me, and that's it.
Mm. You know, when you're so driven, he was so driven, his focus was so narrow.
On one thing.
Yep. Right. Yep. And whenever that one thing was gone, well, yeah, you're lost. What do you do?
One-dimensional.
And so
interesting. You don't teach it.
Came back. He fought back. He won all those medals in the last Olympics. And he's now officially retired. But he's actually retired to, he has his foundation that's really helping people, you know, youngsters deal with depression and suicide and stuff like that. So he's found a new purpose.
Good.
Which is fantastic. But, you know, it was just, I don't even know how we got on that topic. But, I mean, we were talking about something that had to do with
kids.
Well, it's kids. You know, going through. I think the key through every single stage of your child's life is just keep, be persistent in knowing who they are.
You got to be like, remember what Mark Twain said? He said when he was 17 years old, his dad was the dumbest person you would ever meet. And when he was 21, it was amazing how much the old man learned in those four short years.
Yes. I just asked my mom, I'm like, how long did it take before you were, this is my mother across the table from me. How long did it take before you were recognized for how great you were? And she said, probably until you were 30. You know,
you were a slow learner.
Yeah, because I got married at 28 and had my kids at 32 and 33, you know.
It takes the kids to wake you up, right?
Yes.
It's all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I was that?
Yes.
I did that?
And I keep saying, how did you do it? How did you and Dad do it? You're almost just in awe of what they went through to get you to where you are now,
mm-hmm.
right?
You don't realize what they gave up.
Yes. Meanwhile, I'm like, do you understand what I gave up for you?
Mm-hmm. That's just like Bradley. Yes. I mean, Bradley.
My son, yeah.
Yeah, he's 11.
Mm-hmm.
And not yet. Come on.
Well, in a few days. And Abby is 5, going to be 6 in August.
Beautiful kids, too.
But the thing about it is that they are both involved in golf. Nick, they won state in Ohio when he was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a golfer. I mean, he was a scratch golfer, played with Jim Herman, who's on the tour. And what did Nick do because of his kids? Nick doesn't play golf because he's taking his kids around and making sure that they get
there. That was a funny thing because I had a golf outing a couple weeks ago, and I was playing with people that had flown in from all over the country. And they know me because they, you know, follow us on Facebook or whatever. And they said, well, you know, hey, you play golf all the time. You know, we're always seeing you on the golf course, but you're really not that good. I did okay, right? But I wasn't that good. But I said, no, trust me. I mean, all I do is I probably hit maybe 10 putts on the weekend. They're like, but you're always at the golf course. No, I'm the caddy for those two kids.
Isn't that something?
Right?
Yeah.
They're out here, they're working, I'm helping them, but this last weekend I may have hit 6 putts and a chip.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I love to golf. I love to golf so much that I don't even care how good I am. I just go and just enjoy being out there and being in the cart, and then I pick up my club.
You're a very special person.
I love it.
If you can love it. And
oh, my gosh. Because I don't let it bother me. And if we're playing,
I'm too competitive for that.
Yeah. Then I'd drive you crazy. Because I'll pick up my ball. I don't care. I'm not going to get aggravated if I can't get the thing down. I'm a very good driver. I'm a terrible putt. So I could get my ball on the green, let's say two shots, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I'm up there, it's like eight.
Oh. Yeah.
So I'll pick up my ball. I have no problems with that.
You drive for show and you putt for dough. Don't you know that one?
What's putt for dough?
Yeah, you putt. That's what they always said. You know, you drive for show.
Okay.
Because all these golf pros would hit golf balls on the driving range because, oh, yeah, look how far I can hit it. Yeah. Okay. The long drive guys,
yeah,
they can boom at 400 right. yards. They can't putt. That's why they're not on tour. So that's what they say is you drive for show.
Oh, that's so
and
funny.
Putt and you putt for dough, money. Dough being money.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I could technically, if you just drop me off at the putt, you know, to get that thing in the hole,
yeah,
you could start from the beginning, by the time you get your ball up
watch.
There, I'll still
so
be
you could
swinging.
Practice putting at the house. You know, so, I mean, that's what will happen. We'll
you
just
can?
Come in. Yeah, yeah. Just get like a little cup and put it over there. And while you're watching your TV, just putt. And just, it's probably just all about feel. You just got to just set up a
get
little
that
thing.
Rhythm.
And you're, but see, then what will happen is she'll be like, man, I'm really good at putting now. And we'll be in here for an interview one day and she won't be here.
Right. I'll be out in the golf
be on the golf course.
My dad was the most impatient man in the world. Oh, my goodness. Impatient. But when it came to the golf course, he'd say, you want to go golfing? I'm like, oh, no, no, because I thought he'd yell at me the whole entire time. Oh, no. He was the best teacher ever. And he would be out there, and there was something about being out there. He would be so calm, so relaxed, and with the putting, you know, you had the pendulum swing, and he'd be behind you so that you can feel what that was like, because your arms and shoulders mm-hmm. and your arm, oh, well, he's been gone for so long, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I could kind of hone them in, but that doesn't help me any. I just pick up the ball and go.
Yeah, well, you know, who was the president who did that? Who was the president that would hit a golf ball and then even before that ball landed, he was into his pocket and put another one down?
Bush Sr.
That was Bush Sr.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was kind of the same
He
way.
Didn't care if they had cameras on him or not. He'd hit the ball and he'd throw down
ball
another
again.
Ball.
Yeah. You only get so many. Whatever.
Now he's the president and he got them all.
Yeah, as long as the people behind me, if they're really pushing forward, I'll step aside. I have no problems with that. None. Mm-hmm. Have the little guy in the cart with the, what's his name? He's not it's not security. He's
you have a security guy in your golf cart?
No, the ranger.
The ranger.
Oh. Yeah, he'll come. As long as you're friends with them, he's not going to be mad at you. You have to be nice.
Because mm-hmm.
yeah. otherwise, then he'll say, hurry up. No, don't. I paid just as much as
I was about
as
to say, security guy on the golf course?
The ranger.
Man, you're playing at some serious high-end place.
The craziest time was when I took Mark's uncle to Magnolia.
Oh, yeah. Disney?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, and that was his dream. Now, I didn't realize it was his dream. I knew that he always wanted to play. So I'm like, hey, let's play. Let's go to Magnolia. I don't care. So we get there, and it's super early, you know, dark 30, and we pay our thing, and the guy's like, we're gonna have you with two other guys. Oh, okay. All right. So we go out, we meet
Can
these
we interview
two.
Them first, please?
Yeah. It ended up being Mick and Mick from Ireland.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so
the mix.
My heart is pounding because I'm a cast member. I know I didn't pay very much for this. You know, this is a treat for Dick. And here we have, it was Mick, and Uncle Dick, right? So, I'm not even lying. And so we're at the Magnolia. And Mick from Ireland, he hits, oh my gosh. And you know, that first hole is probably mm-hmm. like 400. It's a far, far cry. And that was a perfect shot. So here comes Mick too. Okay. I'm shaking. Dick. And now here's me. And I'm good at my drive. I'm good. I can't hit the ball. I can't see the ball. I can't do it. So I picked it up and I'm shaking. By the third hole, because I'm a mess now, Mick and Mick, they pulled me aside and they're like, you know, and they're thick accent. They were like, you just need to relax. I'm like, I can't, because this is your vacation. This is something that you know, probably have waited just as long as, you know, Dick here to play on this course. I don't want to mess this up for you. And they're like, no. And they ended up taking me under their wing, and it was the best time we had. And that's when I realized, you know what?
It's not that big of a deal.
Hey,
did they wait for the cart girl to come around and get you a couple Bloody
long
Marys? That's what
that's
what
helped,
right?
Yeah, the good old cart awesome. Girl. She'll get you whatever you want. I'm like, okay. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. And this will be the last segment. My gosh, time flies with you guys.
It does.
I know. We'll be right back. 1520 WPZW, your hometown. Debbie O'Brien with Nick and Jerry Royer. Welcome Welcome back. Thank you for listening. 1520 WBZW. This is Debbie O'Brien, and I have Nick and Jerry Royer. And I'm not kidding. I just love it when you guys come here because there's so much information, so many things and topics that we can talk about. And some hit the surface. Some we go right below the surface. But this is for you because you cannot bury your head. This is your money. And this is what makes our life livable, you know?
It is your
30
money.
Years in retirement. That's what we tell people is basically retirement is 20 to 30 years of unemployment.
Yeah, and you need to make it work.
You've got to figure out how to get through that period of time, and it's not just going to be a guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the, I know you came to our Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually the last time we saw you.
Mm-hmm.
So we were...
That was the last time I think I was well.
Oh yeah, God. You heard you were sick. But you didn't get sick from the boat, though.
No. Although I came back from Texas.
Man, that was a rocky day.
We loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. I mean, clearly, it cleared up. What we did is we took people on the cruise ship.
Barbara Lee.
Yeah, the Barbara Lee, which is a paddle boat that goes on the St. John's River. And we had the entire boat, about 160 of our client family joined us. And Debbie, you and your family, Mark and Nicholas were there too. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things that I think is a very valuable thing for our clients is when they get to see other people who have been down that road,
mm-hmm.
that have retired. And it's not because for a lot of people, this is their very first time retiring.
Yeah. You only retire once usually.
But when they can actually meet somebody else who's, hey, I've already done it. And here's some things that I learned. And then they get to hobnob with people. I think there's a lot of benefit with that when they get to kind of learn from that. And it's tough, you know?
Yeah, you know what? You don't think about that. You do only retire one time.
Mm-hmm.
And even though your neighbor may have retired and you're talking to them, it's not you. And it's not being a part of a financial family. Now you've created with Group 10 a financial family where everybody's interests, are kind of the same,
mm-hmm.
right?
They become part of our family.
Yes.
And it's just fun to see and work with those people because, you may have many jobs throughout your life,
mm-hmm.
but you only have one retirement. And that retirement's going to last you, like Nick says, for 20, 30 years if you're going to be retired.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are retired longer than they ever held one job.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
We just met a gentleman who's 87 years old. Guy looked like he was 75. Came to one of our classes, our tax classes at Winter Park Library. And his son said, well, guess how old my dad is? And I would have thought.
I figured he was probably mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought late 60s, early 70s. Guy's 87 years old.
And still works every day. Not because he has to, but because he wants to.
Well, I had Lee Cockrell in here the other day. And he is the former vice president of Walt Disney World, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when he never wanted to retire because what is there to do? You just sit around. He said, so now, he's reinvented himself, not really, but that's the word I'm going to use, where
that's
he can now
word.
Go out and all that knowledge in his head, he is going out and he's doing seminars and he's writing books and he's living a life in his retirement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look at Buffett. I mean, he's what, 86? And
he doesn't need to do anything anymore.
Is he
anymore?
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't need to work, but he enjoys what he does.
Yeah, there's a difference between where you have to work and where you're going to get employment.
It's what we always say is don't retire from something, retire to something.
Mm, you have said that several times, haven't you?
Yes. And the only difference between work and retirement is just when you get to do something you're passionate about.
Right.
Work is maybe work. I had to do it. I had to put kids through school. I had to do this and I had to do that. Look at retirement as your opportunity to do what you're passionate about. And a lot of people, they get involved with their church.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a difference with their church, or they're getting involved with things like
the hospital,
the Susan B. Komen Foundation or whatever. You just find different things to do. But that's what I think I ask people, what is your purpose? What is the you've built up all this money. Let's just imagine for an instance that all this money that you've saved is in stacks of cash here on the table. And you get to say, here, this is what I want this to do for me. It's forget about for a second wherever it's invested. And you get to say, this is what I want it to do. And people come back and say, I just want to travel.
Yes.
My kids live in New York and I've never been able to see them. And I just want to be able to go for 3 weeks and not worry about it. That's what retirement's, that's their passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just need to build a retirement around that. You know, so everybody's completely different.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And it's completely different, but it seems like everybody does want to travel. And here's the thing. You don't want your job to beat you down to the point where you get sick or unhealthy. And, you know, this is another big, huge part of it, too. Make sure that you live a healthy lifestyle so that you can take that cash, all that wads of money on the table that you've planned, prepared for, so that you can, you know, travel, see your family, or do whatever it is that you want.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can't take the body for granted either.
No, you have, we call it your financial health. Mm-hmm. Okay. So your financial health is important, just like your health, your healthy body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you got to look at both because one, how many times have we had people who, their finances have caused so much stress
yes.
that it's affected them emotionally, physically, mentally, and it just, it's controlled their whole life. I'd rather see money serve you than you be a slave to it.
Right. Right. And, you know, I've seen people, but I've worked at the hospital, you know, I've got friends and stress absolutely destroys your body. It takes one organ at a time,
Unfortunately.
And it does, you know, and you have to take heed to that.
Yes. It's just like a marriage.
Yeah.
You got to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't happen.
With a big smile every single day and say, yes, honey.
People can't.
Yes, dear.
You know, they can't be fortunate to wake up with somebody like me that's always happy and jovial.
Oh, wow. I can't wait till mom hears this one.
Yeah. She is a lovely person, too. It was
yes,
nice.
You got to meet
it
the whole
so
family. It was fantastic.
It was so wonderful to meet your whole family. I kept telling Mark, I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at them. Oh.
Yeah. It was a fun night. It was
really
fun,
was. I'm thankful that you invited me to that.
Oh, I'm glad you could be there.
That was great. All right, so then we're going to do this again?
He'll be here.
I hope so.
Just let us know.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show. It's 1520 WBZW, and I had Nick and Jerry Royer here. And you can listen to them on Saturday mornings on
660, 950, 1520 on Saturday
at
8.
Why am I getting 105.1?
I have no idea.
That just came right off.